It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wake up, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. Someone tell the bats to wake up, too. I'm Bo Squid, Billy Morgan. He's the All-American, former national champion. Oh, no, you're still a national champion, but you're our former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. Tiffany's with us. Tiffany Blackman, national reporter, and we are the Morning Shift. And it's, look, there's been a lot. The Hawks, we'll talk about that. The Braves continue to be eh. But... let's not bury the lead today, all right?
Wait.
It's a hibachi birthday for Michael P. Hey!
Honestly, until yesterday, I kind of forgot that it was my birthday.
Yeah?
And I was talking to my parents on the phone. They're like, hey, how old are you going to be? I was like, Oh, yeah. But thank you very much. Yeah. It's nice.
Happy birthday.
I'll be straight with you.
Happy birthday, Mikey P.
Until
happy
I birthday. Read the station newsletter. I forgot too.
Well, good for you for reading the station newsletter.
Hey,
there you
I
go.
Read all my emails.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I don't read all of them, but I read most of them.
Yeah.
When I know that there's some that I know that I don't need to read. You know, like the ones from corporate where they're like, hey, you need to do this training. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to read that.
Probably more important than the newsletter, though.
But no. I need to know what's happening in this cluster and this station, and I need to know what, I read all the emails from Mike Conti, and I read all the show recap emails, so either I can scold producers for not doing them, or I can actually know what's happened on our radio station, which can be very important because we have a lot of big guests throughout the day. So that but I need to be doing that anyway. So I am management. So
it's right, yeah. Mister. I got a taste of Mister. Squidbilly today too.
Yeah, Dylan, better get on the day. You better start.
Did he get in trouble?
Two days in a row.
I got scolded today by Mister. Squidbilly.
Yeah, I ain't having that. And I'm on my watch.
I went to break at 5:56. So
isn't it ironic?
Oh, on your show.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Easy, Alanis.
Are you doing anything for your? How old are you?
38 today.
You're getting closer.
I'm getting close. I'm still a Ute.
Never mind. It's just a regular birthday.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I we don't.
But you're
don't
not wrong.
wife has to work late, as she has had to do all week, and then I'm sure we'll, We're heading to Disney, obviously, this weekend. So that'll be enough celebration for me, man. I don't. Wife did get me a gift, but she already gave it to me over the weekend. So yeah, nothing too crazy coming along.
What
do you at least have like a warm skillet brownie with some like vanilla ice cream on top?
I don't have any plans for that. Probably DIY on the dinner tonight. She got me
a skillet brownie.
Solo stove, fire pit.
Get you a fire pit.
Yeah, she got me a solo stove.
Oh yeah, the bigger one or the
the bigger one. Yeah,
yeah, that's not cheap.
No, it's not. It was a very nice gift. It was a very nice gift. And she was like, "What do you want for birthday?" I was like, "I don't want anything." She's like, "All right, well, I got you something. It's kind of out of left field." And you know, you've seen my fire pit. We had it at Atlanta Motor Speedway infield. But yeah, the solo stove, and it's gonna be cool. It's supposed to be smokeless or whatever, and you know, that way I can actually get her outside around the fire because she hates the smoke. But nonetheless, man, yeah, 38 today, feeling good. Am getting close to 40 though. I think that's probably a harder number for my parents than it is for me. They're like, "You're what?
No, 38? Just wait till it hits. You'll be like, what the hell?
It will feel no different. It feels absolutely.
You guys,
no
I
different.
Feel like you guys are sending mixed signals.
Well, just wait to hit 50, like Day Day, and then it's
maybe
Day Day's still a spring chicken back
yeah, exactly.
here.
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
hear nothing that's about the, turning
I
40.
Saying. I was gonna say Day Day. I feel like he's doing better than any of us.
It really is.
That's a male with Zion the prize right there. I feel like I need to get to Day Day's level when it comes to that.
It makes you. It's probably different for you because you already have kids. For me, knowing that I'm going to turn 42 before my future daughter turns like 6 months is a little like weird. Like because you start projecting timelines and you're like, oh, I'll be
50 when she's like 10.
No, I'm thinking like I'll be 60 when she graduates. Like holy, I'm like five years from AARP and. She'll be 5 years from graduating college if she's anything like me.
I think I've told you this, guys, before, but I do remember when I remember a birthday that kind of blew my mind, and I think it was my 35th, and the problem was I distinctly remember my dad being 35, and that was one of the first realizations for me. I was like, man, like I remember my dad being this old, and I think that at the time I was 10, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had me when he was 25. So they were, you know, very early having children. Yeah, and I remember having that 35th birthday and going, God, I remember my dad at 35. That's nuts. And I definitely remember him at 38, which is insane. And now he's, what, 63, 64, something like that.
Yeah. I think the only thing is you just realize time flies. But that, I mean, maybe you hit that then. But otherwise, 40, I don't feel any. I can't believe I'm actually an adult. I think I have that revelation every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, how? Is this possible?
Seriously.
So
I will say I agree with you along the lines of when I think about me at 41 and I think about my parents, because when I was 10, my mom was 40, I think, and because she had me at 30, and my mom's a year older than my dad. But when I think about me at 41 and I think about my parents at that age, I'm like, boy, hey,
you're thriving.
No, I feel like that I act like I'm still 21 compared to what they did at four. Like they were
raising
mature
children.
Yes, so but
that changes a lot of things.
But that's true. Don't think you think about the, you know, I don't think you think about the other side of your. You think about the parental side of your parents as that when you were that age, right? You don't think about maybe they like to, you know, hang out and have fun and talk trash with their friends.
I know that now. I think you get that as you get older and learn some things and have some fun and
for sure
some drinks and all that kind of stuff.
I will say, and I've had this conversation with my parents multiple times because my kids are at that. My son's at a really good age right now, being 4 and a half. He's a lot of fun, and sometimes I'll mention how fun it is, you know, to my dad, like how fun it is to have my son who's 4 and a half, and he's like, dude, it only gets better. And he was like, honestly, my parents both say they've enjoyed being friends with me and my sister more, you know, more than they actually miss us being that age, which I think was kind of eye-opening for me. They're like, you know, yeah, we miss y'all being that age, but we definitely enjoy, like, actually hanging out with y'all and being friends with you. I'm like, well, that's a good point. My dad lived college while I was in college. He didn't go to college. So when I went to Tuscaloosa, like, on Friday night, he's rolling up Tuscaloosa. He's like, it's go time, baby. Like, he had the eye of the tiger. So
like the big units hit Tuscaloosa.
The
let's
big
roll.
Unit hits Tuscaloosa, you know, 8 times per fall, and he was having a good time. So I think to his point, it's kind of fun, you know, once that once that kind of stage ends and the next one starts.
Hey, let's hit the front page. I guess we'll start with the bad news first.
Well, there is no good news really today.
Hope you're having a great day. All right, the Braves lose to the Dodgers 3-1, and they're winless now, still on the season.
The bright side of last night's game, Chris Sale allowed one hit through five innings. Now the downside is he didn't make it through the sixth inning. They had three straight hits. They pulled him. But he gave up essentially three earned runs and five innings pitched. I think that's basically an inning away from a quality start. You got three hits last night, yay!
There you go.
But you scored one run. Now I will tell you this: for all the banter about how brutal the offense is, and it is brutal, there is not a guy hitting that is in the everyday lineup that is a regular starter over 215. That is pathetic. However, that said, Marcell Ozuna's on base percentage is .542. He's getting on. He's drawing two walks a night, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good, and that's essential for a team that right now is averaging 10 strikeouts per game, which that's what the Braves offense is doing. I know that we got plenty of time to talk about this game today, but there were so many points last night. And, you know, things that I noticed, that it's just that team, the Dodgers are doing better. You know, first and foremost, the top of the fifth, we get Brian De La Cruz on to start the inning on a walk. Jared Kelnick strikes out, and then Nick Allen hits it in double play. And a couple innings later, they get their leadoff guy on. He's still second. There's an overthrow. He goes all the way to third. You pull the infield in, and then Will Smith hits a hard ball past Ozzie Albies. That's the difference right there. Between winning baseball and losing baseball is being able to move runners over, situational hitting, making contact, and all the other things that go along with it. That's just one run, but that's what really is stopping this Braves offense from putting anything together because of those low averages.
And I guess the torpedo bats aren't going to be rescuing them anytime soon. Is that kind of what's been going on now? So there's a little bit of a debate whether or not those are going to actually end up being.
Yeah, but so there was a fake report yesterday for April Fool's Day that came out.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, PTI from ESPN put out a fake report. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen anything else about it, if that was, you know. But
so
I know
a bit, and I just presented it to everybody.
Well, I know they put one out. Now, I haven't catched anything else, but I saw them put out a report that they were being banned. But because I checked their account, that was April Fool's on the pardon the interruption account on ESPN. I'm not sure if there's anything else out there, but
I'm seeing some stuff on insiders thinking that they'll be banned, but we'll see what happens.
I think Major League Baseball is going to have a tough time banning a bat that by all specifications is legal unless it's corked. I don't think baseball has a leg to stand on there.
So, all right, well, let's get back to sticking with the Braves. So Ronaldo Lopez is going to undergo surgery. And this is from Mark Bowman, the beat writer for the Braves. He covers them from MLB.com. So he's going to undergo an arthroscopic surgery on his right shoulder to determine if he has any structural damage. Imaging showed inflammation. So the timetable for his return is not known at this present time. And so we'll see what happens. He's going to be expected to miss a couple months. That's according to Bowman.
I got so many questions. Exploratory surgery that knocks you out for a couple of months is something I'm just not used to hearing. I understand it. But you're going to go in there and kind of figure out what's wrong. It's going to knock you out for a couple of months. Best case scenario is that you're looking at, you know, early July or, you know, late July for this guy to come back and actually be a part of this rotation. It's just, I don't know what to say. I'm tired of the bad news coming down my thread and getting pop-up notifications from six different outlets every day that say something bad about the Braves.
Yeah, I read an article from Ken Rosenthal last night on The Athletic and basically talking about how the Braves had a plan in the postseason and the Jeff Hoffman stuff where he failed the physical and they couldn't spend the money, kind of torpedoed, to use that word, like torpedoed about their offseason plan. And it goes in. The Braves have plenty of cash. You know what? You want to know what irks me? When I get an email from the Braves organization and the state, right? The part of the let me get this. I want to get this 100% right. The Braves Holdings has acquired Pennant Park office complex, which is adjacent to the Battery. When I get that and talking about the real estate involved with the team, and we can't go out and do the things on the field that other teams do spending-wise, that just like takes me from an irritation of a 5 to 6 to a 10 to 12. And 10 is as high as you can go. But that's irritating as hell to me when read that crap.
All right. Hey, when we come back.
just FYI, 10 is, FYI. That was the limit before.
You know, the Hawks, they fall to the Trailblazers 127-113. We'll get you caught up on that throughout the show. But up next, the NFL owners meeting going on and Coach Raheem Morris talking to the media yesterday. We'll give you the latest on what he has to say about, you know, things to come ahead at draft. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Here on The Morning Shift and the NFL owners' meetings were going on this week, and Coach Raheem Morris spoke to the media. They do this breakfast thing. It's kind of like a breakout where reporters can walk around different tables and visit with different head coaches.
Yeah, some of the reporters just like sleep at the table next to the head coach, like the guy did next to Mike Tomlin when he was sweating profusely. It's kind of an interesting
combination.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. It's a busy time. All right, so this comes from Orlando Ledbetter, of course, the beat writer from the AJC, and he had tweeted out, what did I say? Tell me, Dylan, did I just mess up?
Oh, no, you just Uncle forgot Led's? The D, that's all.
I forgot the D?
Yeah.
Sorry, Uncle Led, forgive me.
Never forget the D.
Forgive me. I need coffee. Falcons coach Raheem Morris, this is D. Orlando Ledbetter's tweet. He says that Raheem Morris said Mike Hughes can go inside and outside and Clark Phillips can go inside and outside. He said we're going to give it a rip inside for Phillips, something he's been working on right now. So, and as we know, Nickelback D. Alford was not re-signed by the team.
I think I've talked to Arch about this like a lot, and he and I, when in our conversations, he's like, I think people completely underestimate how hard it is to play in that nickel spot. Like, it is incredibly hard to switch to the nickel and just say, oh yeah, I'm a, you know, it's just not easy to play in there. I think, and Mike, correct me if you think I'm a little bit off, but I think some of the attributes you need to play that are different than on the outside. And it's just not one of those things where a guy from the outside can just walk in and be like, I'm going to play the nickel now, and I'm going to be good at it, because yeah, it is hard. This statement kind of means nothing to me. It's a nothing burger. Because here's my point. That doesn't mean that they're not going to draft a corner, to me. Because Mike Hughes, we've also seen play the nickel. And actually, Mike Hughes, I thought, played it pretty well.
Yeah.
And so they could still draft a guy in the first round to go outside with AJ, and then you could have Hughes in the nickel, and Clark Phillips could be a depth guy that plays both.
Yeah, and I'm with you to an extent. There's been no position that's been affected the way that nickel has in the last 15 years. When you look at what they're asked to do now, when you're in these sub packages on defense, and really nickel is a full-time starter for most teams in the NFL these days, you're going to be in nickel a lot of times. I think the interesting part of it is, I think when you look at Mike Hughes, he's twitchy enough and has enough size that he can still play the nickel but also be that box player. But him moving outside, I fully believe in Clark Phillips. Now, Clark Phillips is a smaller body. He's going to be asked to do things that require a little more physicality, but I'm with you. Playing nickel in today's NFL is a certain skill set that not a lot of people possess. There is so many motions that you have to deal with at the nickel position, of guys going behind the line of scrimmage and orbit motions and stacks at the wider wide receiver position, reading, get off the line of scrimmage. It's a little bit crazy. So I'm glad to hear that we're already talking about him working there. I'm with you, though. I don't think this puts a lid on anything you would do in the draft. I don't think anything at this point deters you from drafting anybody, any position. So, yeah, I thought it was insightful into how the Falcons view the future at that spot. And I think they got guys that are definitely capable of pulling it off.
Just pulled up this tweet from Steve Weish, who, of course, is for NFL Media and had some time working here in Atlanta, too, so we know him well around these parts. He had put out there on X, Falcons coach Raheem Morris said backup QB Kirk Cousins has made him and others aware he would like to be the starter, leading to the thought that Cousins would be very willing to waive his no-trade clause. Morris said they have not reached a point where those discussions have materialized with Cousins. Morris also added that he would not be surprised if Cousins stayed away from voluntary offseason workouts. Again, this coming from Steve Weish.
Yeah, it's twofold for me, Mike. The first part is, I think we said this the other day, I'd like to be 6'4", 235.
That's exactly how I responded to this tweet yesterday when I saw it. I go, yeah, I'd love to have abs.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to have abs, but some things are just not in the cards.
The other thing, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole with personally, and this is not about the story. I'm so over how people are reacting to this story. There's a lot of things that are true. First off, I don't believe for the life of me that Kirk Cousins will be traded before June. I especially don't believe, and I think I will just go 100% not before the draft. A, he said he doesn't want to be traded before the draft. B, it really makes no sense for this team to trade him before June. You're really not getting anything out of it. People are like, well, we get a seventh-round pick. Dude, a seventh-round pick is not worth, 30-something million dollars, because that's essentially what you're doing by trading him before then. It's not. You can get,
you're getting Zion Logue.
Yeah, and where the hell is he at?
Yeah, he's not here.
Exactly. Thank you. The other thing is, quit getting and. Why do people get so mad with the organization? And I love the fact, the thing that we should be celebrating a little bit is that from the very top, with Arthur, with the GM, and with the head coach, they're all saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I think for everyone who wants to say this is an embarrassment, it's an embarrassment. No, they're actually handling this, I think, as well as it can be handled.
Yeah, I'm with you. And there's, questions about the business side of this is the best case business side of this. I think it speaks to a lot of how they envision Kirk Cousins. I think Raheem kind of mentioned that a number of times yesterday. So did Arthur Blank. But there's just, to your point, there is a lot of things going in the Falcons' corner to drag this out as long as possible. You don't have to rush into this and, you know, trying to just simply say, well, it's a bad look, or we're doubling down, and to try to make the Falcons' front office look bad in this decision-making process is just dumb. It's just, there's no point for the Falcons right now to rush out and make some kind of deal that does not make sense for them in any way.
Well, and I think, real quick, that's the problem for me. Everyone keeps saying that Kirk is trying to screw the team, and then the Falcons are look like they're lost, and they're embarrassing. I beg to differ. How about the fact that both sides are doing 100% what's best for them, and that's okay. That's how business works. Have we not learned at this point in our adult lives how business works? You do the best for you in business. You do the best for you. You do what's best for you from a business professional speaking away, and that is exactly what both sides are doing. How you can get mad at either side really doesn't make sense to me.
So, and we know that Blank did speak with the media as well yesterday, and so he talked about how he had spent an hour on the phone with Kirk Cousins and took 5 pages of notes. Stating that Kirk understands the situation. He understands our situation. He understands that we've committed a lot of funds to him over a period of time. Aspirations have been, from this standpoint, from our standpoint, certainly he would play a couple of years, if not longer, and things didn't develop that way.
5 pages of notes is a lot. When he said he took 5 pages of notes, I'm like, what did it say? I mean, what could it have possibly said that took 5 pages? That was my biggest curiosity about this entire thing.
Maybe he just writes.
You think
really
he has handwritten font is 33?
Or it was on sticky notes.
That's a lot of sticky notes.
That's only five.
The small detective size notepads. Just flipping.
He's like, sticky note. Okay, sticky note, and it was really just like five bullet points.
The notepad that fits in your front pocket.
Like, wants to be starter. Wants to be traded after draft.
Blank did say that the organization wants to be as thoughtful and sensitive to Cousins as we can while still doing what's right for the organization.
And I do believe that they are. They've not made any begrudging comments about Cousins. I thought what Raheem said about him the other day was I thought it was spot on as well, but it was very, you know, like, he's a great guy. We know he'll do the right thing because that's who he is and that's who he's always been. You know, they could have said other things. I saw an interview, and I'm not really sure where it's from, but it was a clip. It was like a 4-minute clip. Our boy Mincy shouted to me on Twitter, and it was a Bijan Robinson. And he talked about the differences in what Penix brought to the offense last year, among other things. But he also talked about how Kirk handled the transition from starter to backup last season. And he said, dude, you could tell Kirk was in practice. He was still coaching all of us up. He was still helping Michael Penix. He was doing everything. Like, Kirk was being that guy, the guy that everyone talks about and the guy that we know he is.
Yeah, the consummate pro, and you expect that from him. I did think there was the one thing, to Tiff's point, that Arthur did say that was relatively insightful to me was the, you know, I think at the end of the day what happens will happen. Maybe something pre-draft, post-draft, I don't know. That, like, okay, so we got irons in the fire here. Like, you know, like that was kind of insightful to me because he could have just been like, yeah, we fully expect him to be the backup on the team next year. It's like, yeah, we'll see what, you know, maybe something happens pre-draft, post-draft. I don't know.
See, I didn't think it was irons in the fire as much as we're open for business. Give us a call if you can make us the offer that's best for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, irons in the fire. Okay. I think we're saying the same thing. Like,
all right.
We're out there. Like, we got a line in the water.
I guess where it gets confused, I was listening to Duke Samuel yesterday, and they played Diana Rossini talking about how she thinks Cleveland's a real option, and she's obviously a trusted source. But when she was kind of asked why, and she goes, well, there's just too much conversation about it. Well, but we're the ones talking about it. It's not.
Maybe she didn't mean the outside. She might have meant there's too much conversation amongst people within the league. And
yeah,
I think that's probably what she.
And I guess the point is the only it only feels like I've heard the Browns people say, well, you know, like the insiders say, well, that's what makes sense. I'm just not sure who's really talking about it because the Browns think that they're just going to they've had it reported from their own mouths. Well, if he gets cut, and it's like. I just don't think there's any way, shape, or form they cut Kirk Cousins. I really don't. It just makes no sense.
I'm with you on that. I don't think they'll cut him at all, and I think maybe they're playing a little bit of game of chicken. I don't know what cards that Cleveland holds at this point, and that's the curiosity of it.
Yeah.
to tush push or not. When we come back here, we'll discuss some proposed rule changes that were discussed at the owners' meetings. That is next here on the Morning Shift from Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. This is the Morning Shift. As it is a Wednesday morning. Hey, I tried to.
I'm doing a bad job today.
Ow. That's all right. I like to talk. I don't mind. I don't mind being a space whore. Hey, I tried my.
What?
I said I don't like to talk. I can fill space.
Oh, I thought you called yourself a space
filler.
Oh, that's what I heard. Okay.
You know, I do the factor meals from HelloFresh.
Are the same company?
It is.
They are the same company.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
And so I got a shipment on Sunday, and so last night I tried one, and so they're not like you. They're different from HelloFresh. You don't have to cook. You don't have to like prepare these. They come pre-prepared, and you just heat them up. Dude, they're really good. I had like, and it's stuff that I don't really like. I would never make pork chop. I would eat. But I would never eat a pork chop in like
a puree.
Well, it was like a kale sauce, which kale spinach sauce or something like that. And I was like, I would never make that. But it was really good. And then I had like some vegetables and stuff, like some zucchini. So I poured a little Baron Burton's W sauce on the zucchini. And it was really good. I was blown away. I was like, man, I can't wait to eat my other one.
I have a quick follow-up with that because I know kale has a very acquired taste. It can be very bitter if you don't have, you don't put a sauce with it.
It might not have been kale. It might have been cauliflower spinach sauce. And there's a kale rice and another one because I read all of them before I went through.
Because when you said kale sauce, that made me think, what did that taste like?
Well, kale, you know, I used to put kale in my smoothies. So
it's great for you. Your smoothies,
I used to do a green smoothie with like kale and spinach and Greek yogurt, and I think I put bananas in there, maybe apples. I can't remember. I put something in there. Blueberries too, and it was really good.
No, that sounds great because you got other good flavors in there. But kale, the flavor of kale itself is very bitter, so that's why I was like, if that was the main ingredient in the sauce, then
I keep seeing a ton of things on kale and like how people are like, make sure you blanch it. Like I guess because it can. I need to look up what blanching is, but that it can cut your like gut line, kind of like what happened with. No, that baseball player, that was his esophagus, I believe.
Yeah, it was Dustin May, actually.
They were saying you've got to, like, I guess basically cut up the kale.
Oh, like the stems? Like the stem?
I'm going to Google what that means, but that it can actually, like, harm your, like, intestinal lining or something.
Yeah, it's basically
like
just removing the stems, removing the kale from the stems. Is
I don't have that problem. Like sharp enough to anyway.
I don't really eat it.
But you love your meals.
No, yes, it was really good, and I was like, man, this will be pretty easy once the kid's born. I'll just order myself factor meals, and you know that's what I'll eat every time, and it's healthy. So, anyways. I just thought it was interesting. It was something I did last night, so.
All right. Well, cool. Glad you enjoyed your meal. And you have a deal with them, too, right, don't you?
Oh, that's right.
That's right, yeah. Okay. All right.
Shout out Factor one time.
I was sponsor mixing last night. I put a little Baron Burton's on my Factor meal for the veggies because I'm – not that it didn't taste good, but I
had to mix it up.
W sauce always makes the veggies go down smoother for me, especially Brussels sprouts. Whenever Amy makes Brussels sprouts – I just load up like Fireshire from Baron Burton's all over it, and I'm not a big Brussels sprout person.
All right. Well, let's move along here to some of the NFL rules that were discussed at the owners' meetings. And I'm just going to go and start with the one that we kept seeing everywhere, and that is the tush push. So the tush push ban vote was tabled by NFL owners for more discussions. So they're going to continue to have more talks about the Philadelphia Eagles short yardage tush push play after basically tabling the proposal on Tuesday this week. So we'll see what happens with this. We know that Coach Raheem Morris did come out too when he was asked yesterday about it. They asked several coaches about it. Yeah. He's not in favor of the tush push and presented, you know, basically how it could cause, you know, serious injuries to those who are in that pileup.
They tabled it to May, I believe, when the next meetings are. There was rumors that they didn't have enough votes to pass, and I think they tabled it because they want it to pass. They want, as in the ban. Mm-hmm. Raheem said that his biggest issue is he's not in favor of a play where you just shove other players into players to stop it. as far as talking about his own guys.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with Reem, and this is something that, honestly, we talked about this time last year when it first came up for a ban and it was not banned. I'm fine if them tabling this was, you know, because they don't have enough votes. I tend to agree with you on that. Hopefully, you know, I don't know what kind of lobbying goes on behind the scenes. I'm assuming a pretty good amount on deals like this. But I almost got the vibe yesterday that they were like, hey, let's table this. Too many eyeballs paying attention right now. Let's just too much passion on both sides of this, because you just know that Sirianni's involvement and whoever else, how passionate they are about keeping this play in play, because it has literally been the reason they've won the football games that they have, the number of football games they have over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of passion on both sides. They table it, and hopefully there can be more discussion around it. But I tend to agree with Raheem on this. It doesn't seem like a good idea.
I think the people that don't want it banned, and their only logic is, well, I don't, you know, if you just because you can't stop it, I think that's lack of understanding of actually what's happening in that play. And that's probably my biggest issue, is the lack of understanding of how much could go wrong in those plays. Is to think it's all just about, well, you can't stop it. So.
I don't necessarily think there's a lack of understanding. You see, I see, you know, guys that are, you know, NFL vets that are coming out and being like, yeah, I don't mind it. You know, defensive linemen, offensive linemen that have come out and spoke out on this saying, yeah, get in the trenches and you know, kind of dig dirt. But
it's not just, it's not quite that. It's like, I've heard people even say, well, just put a running back there and do your own version. I just don't think that is necessarily the same.
So what Raheem Morris did say was that he believes defenses will start pushing defensive tackles if the play continues. So that could be even more dangerous. You got big guys being pushed up front. Basically the collision. You know, you're kind of on the collision course for injury is what he's kind of getting to. Catastrophic injury is what he actually said.
It's been the point that we've been talking about for a year now. It's a rugby scrum. And especially when, because Raheem is dead on. The only way you can stop it now is to get pushers on your side of the line of scrimmage. And then I'm sure the Eagles will change things up and start running speed sweeps or pass out of it, whatever they might do. It just, you're going down a path that I don't agree with. And I understand, like I said, there's people out there that are like, hey, go out there and stop it. It's football. We've done quarterback sneaks forever, whatever. I don't know. It's not in the spirit of the game the way I want it to be.
That's what Nick Sirianni actually said, is that it's no different than standard quarterback sneaks. But we'll see what happens with that. So the overtime rule is something else that was discussed, and these are the overtime rules that were passed. So they have passed a rule that both teams will be allowed to possess the ball in overtime in the regular season. The original proposal was for a 15-minute overtime. Now that has been amended to 10 minutes, so we can start there. I think this is a great idea. This is kind of what everyone wanted to see, kind of like more like college football. Everybody gets a turn.
It just makes no sense to play a 60-minute game, and then when it comes down to it, you don't even get to touch the football. It's dumb. And why is it that way? And why can you – why have two different overtime rules, one for the playoffs and one for the regular season? That makes zero sense to me as far as possessing the ball. I understand the 10-minute thing. I think it is 15 minutes in the postseason. I can understand that. But I understand the 10 minutes because of not, you know, are you going to keep flexing Thursday night games and all this kind of stuff? You can't have them playing, you know, 75 minutes and then turn around and play a Thursday. So I understand the 10-minute part. I like this, though. This should have been done when they changed the rule originally.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I agree on all accounts. I don't know why. I was going to ask you guys about this particular topic, and we can talk about it later. But is the reason that they haven't done this in the past, is there some kind of TV window thing that goes into making sure that these games are over as quickly as possible at the end?
I know. I've always thought they've always tried to say it's about player safety. I mean, sure, yeah, they don't want to start. But think about it. The 1 o'clock game, Mike, normally the national game that follows that is 4:25.
Well, and that's my point. I think they have that window built in. If you start going past 4:25, if you're playing long overtimes and both teams are guaranteed a possession, then you might start bleeding into those next games. I always thought that was at least part of the reason.
Yeah, they always claim it's player safety, but we all know that's, to your point, there's really nothing about player safety. It's about money. And you know, what can you be accountable for, and what can you make more money off of with a TV deal?
So let's look at first downs now. This was something else discussed. So the method for measuring first downs in the NFL will switch from chain gangs to camera-based technology this season. So the league announced this, that the official use of Sony's Hawkeye virtual measurement system, consisting of six 8K cameras for optical tracking of the ball's position, was, again, announced at the league's meeting. So the traditional chain crew will remain on the sidelines in a secondary capacity.
I love this idea and I love the implementation. I feel like we're headed for a massive headline after 1 or 2 weeks of the season that something has gone wrong and it missed something. I don't know. I don't know enough about the technology, but it's just like I can just see that we're gonna be watching a replay of the ball down the line of scrimmage, and it's and you know the measurement system's gonna be off or something. Everybody's gonna be up in arms.
There's two things for me. For one, there are games that are national games that have more cameras. So they have more angles. They'll be able to tell more. That means if I'm playing in a lesser game, I have a lesser broadcast game as far as, and when I mean national, I mean like the Sunday night, the Thursday night, the Monday night.
Certain games do, and certain crews, like if it's a big national game, are equipped with more cameras.
We ran into that last year, Tiff, in Tampa when Kyle Pitts does the, I'm going to drop the ball before the goal line. And because it wasn't one of those games, they didn't have a camera view to say that he did. So we got saved. And Tampa got screwed out of it. So I get that. But the other thing for me is there's not a lot that really is going to change other than they're going to be able to – there are going to be plays where we've seen where the referees, like, basically misjudges where the ball is and places it. And I think the cameras are going to be like, no. That's a first down.
It.
Yeah. And that's good.
And it's going to be operated from the NFL's Art McNally Game Day Central Officiating Center, which is in New York. And actually got to tour that too on ahead of the season last year with a lot of our production crews. So that was actually pretty cool to see the command center of where everything takes place and everybody watching all these different monitors with all the different games on. So we'll see how it works out, but I think it's a pretty cool system. I don't know.
Yeah, no, the Hawkeye system is cool because it's pretty quick. They're really quick with the stuff that I've been the games I've been a part of.
It's long overdue. It's long overdue. This is a, you know, however many $15 billion industry, whatever. Come on, man. Let's advance the technology just a little bit.
When we come back here, how can the Braves get right? And we'll also give you more from the NFL's owners meetings with the Falcons next at the top of the hour when we return here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.